Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanamatakwasin, to all of our relations.
Hello, everyone. In this program, we feature a Better World video program on audio. This is a very interesting interview with a Better World producer, Mitchell J. Rabin, and host of Wolf Mountain Native Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices program, yours truly, Ones. This was at the RFPI studios this January 2000 as part of the International Board of Advisors for Radio Peace International. So please listen now to a Better World program interview with Mitchell J. Rabin and Ones.
To a Better World. This is your host, Mitchell J. Rabin, and we're very glad that you're joining us again today. Today we are again on location in Costa Rica, in particular at Radio for Peace International, where my guest, Ones, with me, are on the advisory board, the International Advisory Board, and we've been gathered here for the past couple of weeks to discuss RFPI's future and to help to stabilize it in the world of giving voices to people who are otherwise marginalized and don't usually have access to the media. In that light, Ones was willing to come onto the show and discuss with us some of the issues that have been facing his people for centuries, actually since the United States government has taken control of this land. And Ones is a biologist, he is an environmentalist and a journalist. He has had a show called Native Voices on RFPI for quite some time and is really an outspoken person representing some very important issues in our world. And I'm very glad to have him on with us today and sharing with us his vast amount of knowledge, which he's accrued over the years, oftentimes from hardship and difficulty and struggle. So, Ones, thanks so much for being on the show.
Tabaknik, that's how we say thank you in my language. Akurei, that's a greetings. I'm very honored and privileged to be here at Radio for Peace International. I am a Native American ecologist and journalist, cultural artist, as you mentioned. I'm co-director of an intertribal organization called Yak Hidishi Native American Center. We are primarily a social justice, environmental protection, Native News Bureau, and arts organization. And we work to promote the well-being of Mother Earth and our life, and in particular, I do a program called Wolf Mountain Native Radio, Indigenous Voices, with RFPI, and that's to promote concepts and issues about Indigenous peoples and Native lands throughout the world.
Indeed, and you are doing an excellent job, if I may add.
Thank you.
The shows I've heard of yours and the work you're doing in our advisory group, etc. And we also originally met last year at Belonging to Mother Earth, what was at that point, I believe, what we refer to as the largest Indigenous Peoples Conference in the world up to that point. And we were doing a lot of work there together as well to promote the cause of Indigenous Peoples, cultural preservation, as well as environmental justice and preservation.
In fact, if I may briefly mention, people with access to the computer can get on Radio for Peace International's website and they can order a very beautiful series of programs in which RFPI and myself as host interviewed almost 60 traditional elders, spiritual heroes from many parts of the world, as well as all the plenary speakers. That's called Belonging to Mother Earth, Indigenous Wisdom and Healing. That's
what is
RFPI.
What is the website?
RFPI, we'll get that for our viewers in a moment.
Now, Ones, if you would, I'd like to dive right in here
Okay. And
talk about some of the weighty subjects that have been occupying you for a long time as a Native American
Okay. Ecologist
and journalist. One of the main points that you've raised to me in our discussions is this issue of sovereignty, that the Native American peoples in this land have been basically set aside. They have not been taken, what you could say, seriously by the United States government, or even in so many ways by the American people themselves. Could you speak to that and give us a little bit of the history of this incredibly pressing and very sad issue?
Thank you. The most important aspect to always keep in mind is that Native peoples, Indigenous peoples, we are sovereign Native nations with our own history, our own cosmology, our own political government system. And not just Native Americans in North America, but Indigenous peoples throughout the world, whether it's a Pitjantjatjara Aborigine in what's now called Australia, a Maori in what's now Aotearoa, New Zealand, whether it's a Yupik or Inupiaq person in the circumpolar north, here in what's now called Mesoamerica, the people here called Central America, Abiyala, Akuna words of this part of Mother Earth, that basically Native peoples are nations. We are not tribes. We are not a cultural minority. We, like other countries of the world, have our own history. We have our own relation with other sovereign nations. We have our own spiritual way of life, in English called religion. And all the requirements that international states are required to be considered a sovereign.
We're defined by,
for example, the United Nations decolonization process that a lot of countries in Africa, Latin America had to go through, Southeast Asia had to go through in the 60s and 70s. Many Native nations throughout the world, and in particular North American Native nations, we've always maintained our legal conditions and rights as sovereign nations. We have treaties. Treaties are international legal documents between our nations, between our confederacies, and other nations of the world. And therefore, we are not really a minority of the United States or Canada. We're not really a minority of, say, Australia or any other so-called
sovereign. In the world at large. Mm-hmm.
And it's very important to remember that there have been hundreds of violations of international law that we call in English treaties. In North America alone, there are more than 500 treaties the less separate sovereign nations and the government they now call Washington and Ottawa. And all of our treaties, not only do they talk about the rights and responsibility and respect for the human beings, but equally important to Native people, we're concerned for our sacred Mother Earth, that my Nichitanyanooks, my ancestors, entered into treaties when we understood through our dreams and through our prophecies and through our visions that there'd be a great change happening to Mother Earth, and that the coming of what we call, in my language, the Wampiskatong, the people from across the waters, what I now call Euro-American culture, the industrialized people of the world, that there was going to be great changes to Mother Earth. There was going to be pollution. There was going to be a lot of desecration of sacred lands. And so our ancestors, our spirit people, entered into treaties with the people from across the waters that came here in a way to protect Mother Earth, in a way to also say that we have our own nation, we have our own way of life, that we don't need to be told how to live or be under colonization, for example.
And indeed, when those treaties were entered, as I was just saying on this, they were entered by your people in good faith.
Not only in good faith, but in many cases, our Native nations were militarily superior in strength to the so-called colonists and colonies, and we signed treaties of peace and friendship so that we would not have to make war on a young colony people, and then, of course, the United States, when they declared. My particular nation, the Wabanaki, was now called the Northeast. We, in fact, were the first sovereign nation to recognize the effort of people now called the United States of America to be a sovereign people with our Fort Watertown Treaty. So going back to the early 1700s, of course, people like Jefferson and
Franklin
and George Washington studied a lot of the law that Native peoples have that became part of your Bill of Rights and became part of the Declaration of Independence, such as the Six Nations Haudenosaunee, the Seneca, Oneida, Onondaga, Tuscarora, and Mohawk, commonly called the Iroquois. A lot of the U.S. Constitution is predicated on their Confederacy laws, as well as on the Wabanaki Confederacy laws. So we are international Native nations that have had historic relations with other nations all over the planet long before the coming of the Wampiskatonk.
Sure. The irony doesn't cease to amaze and startle me that the U.S. government has, as its beginnings, much of the intelligence, ideals, and philosophy embodied by your people.
Yes.
And most people don't even realize that. They don't even have a clue about that. And the irony and the sadness then to follow is that having recognized the intelligence and the inherent wisdom that so many Native peoples had, they then continued to disregard them as human beings and show only disrespect.
And that can be said also about human rights. The origin of human rights is really a principle of indigenous peoples, because many Native nations all over the world, we believe in the respect of individual peoples to believe what they wish as long as it doesn't offend one another and Mother Earth.
Yes.
And human rights deal not just with the human beings, but as Native people, when we say the people, we refer to also the animals and the plants, the four-leggeds, the two-wingeds, the water beings, Mother Earth, the stone, the insects, the air, the land, the ocean. Those are our family. Those are our relations. In my language, we say kin and tacos into all of our relations. So honoring Mother Earth, caring for what's called the environment, is a very basic and fundamental belief among Native peoples all over the world. And when we say human rights, we're really talking Earth rights.
Yes, indeed. It's a fully systemic view and vision of the world. It's an entirely different headset and heartset, if you will, of how to be relating to the world around us and inside us.
Well, some of the modern scientists use the word Gaia, I believe,
yes,
which is a Mother Earth, a breathing entity. And we have always known that. We pray to our Mother Earth every morning.
Indeed.
We pray to our Mother Earth with the sky and the stars. So we don't separate ourselves as human beings with the rest of the planet.
In fact, on this, believe it or not, the white European had relations like that too, even spelled out in their philosophies in earlier centuries. And this, unfortunately, has gotten lost in the face of modern industrialization, the upgrading, you could say, of greed as a very popular fashion in the last several centuries of our lives, and which has helped to hurt all people. Yes. And especially your people, indigenous peoples around the world.
Yes.
Now, if you would please speak specifically to this particular matter as it shows up in a body politic that is supposed to, by definition, be serving all people, and that, of course, is the UN,
yes.
the United Nations. It is so striking that your people, that the indigenous peoples of the United States of America, have not been at all acknowledged, except in the most minimum way, by this body, which you should be an absolutely integral and active part of.
Yes.
Could you speak to what that is about?
Thank you very much. That's a very serious subject, and it takes much of my thought. The United Nations is a very important body because it is an effort in this century to try to bring peace and justice and social caring for the human family and really to care for Mother Earth. These are all basic principles of peace that Native peoples all over the world have had since our creation. And we've had many histories of peacemakers in our own societies. And so the United Nations is really, again, nothing new. It's something that we've had for hundreds of years, thousands of years in our own culture. But in particular, the United Nations, and sometimes I call it United Nonsense, because I've had many years of exposure or observation. I had an opportunity as a young Native person to be an observer at the 1972 United Nations Conference on the Human Environment held in Stockholm, Sweden. That was the first interplanetary forum on the environment.
Sponsored by the
UN. It was a UN conference. I was a Peace Corps volunteer and worked with the UN Environment Program for nearly 4 years. I'm very familiar with other agencies of the UN Food and Agriculture Organization, primarily forests. Of course, you know, University for Peace is very important, UNESCO, another organization, and of course, the United Nations dealing with human rights. These are all forums that Yakutia Native America Center monitors on a monthly basis. However, it's very upsetting to me because the United Nations really does not seriously respect indigenous peoples throughout the world. There have been a number of statements such as declaring a decade of indigenous peoples, and there's been several poster contests dealing with Native peoples, but really that's kind of window dressing. As example, the United Nations Draft Declaration on Indigenous Peoples is now in its 10th or 11th year of discussion, and it seems silly that after a decade, a simple statement about honoring Native peoples can't even be accepted internationally. There is no representation at the United Nations. Well, that's something that you'd have to ask the UN in particular. But again, a lot of the so-called nation states, like the United States, like Canada, like Australia, Brazil, are very colonial, and they do not want to recognize that their 500 years occupation of our lands is something that they're perhaps ashamed to admit. So the United Nations, although a very important body, has a long way to go to respect Native peoples. There is the United Nations Working Group on Indigenous Peoples. I've had the honor to attend one of the sessions in Geneva, Switzerland years ago. I was part of an International Indian Treaty Council delegation that met with the International Union for Conservation of Nature and Natural Resources and the UN Environment Program and World Wildlife Fund in trying to put forth a proposal to include indigenous peoples in the world conservation strategy. There have been many efforts on the part of spiritual leaders, on the part of political spokesperson, on the part of Native representatives, Native delegates, for a variety of agencies and organizations to work with the United Nations, for example, the International Indian Treaty Council as one. And still today, it's very sad that, in my opinion anyway, it's taken many years and there's been very little real meaningful progress.
I believe I have a sense of what is behind it. There are many factors. And please give me your opinion on this, if you would, Onus. If the United Nations were to take up the subject seriously of indigenous peoples around the world, Native Americans and others, and begin with the treaties that have been signed by Native peoples, let's say even your people here, and
yes.
the United States government.
Yes.
And if they did a careful review of those treaties, they would see that a majority, a vast majority of those treaties have been broken by one particular party. That would be the United States government. This is harrowing, and it is embarrassing and actually shameful. As a result, it would throw so much water on the face of not only the United States government, but all so-called modern governments that have yes. sought to oppress, suppress, and repress the indigenous peoples of that land.
Yes.
And there's another practical issue. It's not just embarrassment, but if some of the treaties were, just some of them, were
respected,
then it could lead to the loss of a tremendous amount of land back to that would be returned to the native people.
Well, I'm not sure categorizing in that way is necessarily the best way of presenting it. Native peoples do not necessarily feel that we want to, quote, kick off, let people off the land.
Oh, no, but no, I'm not saying that.
What I'm saying, please, is that treaties are ways of honoring Mother Earth. They're ways of protecting the sacred land. And they are ways of trying to live in harmony with Mother Earth. We have treaties dealing with the best way of fishing. We had treaties with good ways of hunting.
Mm-hmm.
We had certain areas that we reserved not to cut down the timber, not to build fruits, not to graze livestock, certain areas that were to be left alone for spiritual reasons. And treaties basically are not being respected and are being violated because, as Americans say, the bottom line is most of the energy and natural resources that are now in the world happens to be on or underneath with so-called native lands, either reservations or, say, in North America under the Bureau of Indian Abuse, as I call the Bureau of Indian Affairs, so-called right. treaty trust land. If you look at so-called U.S. oil, natural gas, coal, tar sand, uranium, water, timber, that's all so-called natural resources and energy that the United States hungrily wants. Similar can be said with, say, Australia, or with now New Zealand, or mm-hmm. South America, Central America, other native places all over the world. It's multinational corporations and national governments, real hunger for energy and natural resources, which is really the underlying reason why native peoples throughout the world still suffer from genocide, and why a lot of native peoples throughout the world, our sacred lands are being desecrated, and our traditional culture, our ceremonies, what in English is called religion, our spiritual way of life, is in many cases being violated because, of course, our relationship to Mother Earth is fundamental, and that's where energy and natural resources is being consumed.
Absolutely. That actually underscores my point. There would be a return of land, which would be more than an acknowledgement of whose land it is, that is more than the multinationals and the governments at hand want to abide by or acknowledge.
Yes.
It, for them, it's a bottom line question.
Yes.
It's all economics. And they will do whatever they need to do, and they continue to do. In fact, in light of that, there are several, of course, there are always numerous issues pressing more than others
yes.
at a given time on the level of humanity, on the level of spirituality, and your people being oppressed, in particular, of relocation, of environmental injustice. What would you like to bring to the audience's attention at this moment in time that you think that we should really take a look at and know more about?
Well, we're speaking now in what's called in English the new millennium. This is January, the first month of the new millennium, and I take that as a very special sign and opportunity so that, say, the next 500 years or the next 1,000 years, perhaps the mistakes of humanity won't happen like they did before. There are many issues in every Native nation all over the world that one could spend hours on, and having talked with you before and on the Wolf Mountain Native Radio program I do with Radio for Peace, many of these documentary cases I focus on, such as the issue of mining native lands, the issue of hydroelectric dam projects and relocation schemes that are going on, the issue of locating toxic nuclear waste dumps on native lands throughout the world. So many issues we could go into, and perhaps we will, but I think what's more important to focus on is that even after all of this colonization, after all of these more than 500 years of nonsense, many Native peoples, we are still alive and holding on to our culture and our spirit and our values and our philosophies. Yes, we live in the modern world. I happen to, you know, have been to university. I even used to fly an airplane, so I am a modern person. I don't, you know, travel in a canoe anymore, and we don't live in wigwams anymore. But the values and beliefs and respect to Mother Earth and to all peoples is really what is fundamental to many Native peoples all over the world. That way of respect, of love, of caring and sharing for one another, for caring for Mother Earth and all our relations, those values, what in English is called peace and justice, is just a Native way of life, a cultural life way that needs to be appreciated and learned from for the world to be a better world. A lot of times, sometimes people ask me, well, boy, we'd like to help teach your people. We want to help educate Indians. And I always laugh because, no offense, we don't really need education. It's the European American industrial people that really needs re-education. We have a very elaborate system of ceremonies and clans and knowledges that we are willing to share with people that have respect. And that's the value that my elders really want to have people understand, that the Native view of living in harmony with Mother Earth and being respectful and having love for all things is the value that this planet needs to learn.
Mm. Oh, God. How true. And you in particular, and so many Native Americans that I have met over time, over many years,
yes,
very much do represent and symbolize the truth of what you're saying. And we really need a lesson really fast, because things have gotten so terribly out of joint. We're so far from being in accordance with Mother Earth. And I, for one, give great thanks to you and to so many of your people for representing this. Your culture is represented by definition what it is to have a deep, abiding, loving, and respectful, and reverent relationship with our Earth and all that that holds.
Thank you. I would like to briefly mention, though, that the reality for many Native people throughout the world, and what's called American Indians in particular, Canadian Indians, in Central and South America, Native people, we are still, unfortunately, people that live in extreme poverty. Many of our people still suffer malnutrition, unemployment, all the so-called social indicators that measure health, educational levels. And a lot of it is not our own making, but is a result of colonialism and a result of being unable to basically continue our cultural way of life. And so I wanted to mention that there are such things as Native American political prisoners, like my brother Leonard Pelletier and others, that need people's attention. So even though I've talked a little bit about caring and sharing and honoring Mother Earth, I want people to realize that we also have a reality that, for example, in the United States in particular, the governments, through, say, the FBI and the COINTELPRO program, as example, that targeted, for example, the American Indian Movement and others, is still, unfortunately, a serious subject. So I hope your viewers would also consider learning about some of the issues that are happening to Native peoples all over the world currently, not just our spiritual, cultural views, but some of the, what in English you might call it, political realities, like having lands desecrated for mining. You look at the Western Shoshone territory, Nui Sogovia, with the U.S. testing of nuclear weapons as example. There's a lot of things that people need to be aware of, and that's why I hope your viewers will listen to Radio for Peace International, my particular program, Indigenous Voices, as example.
I think that's a very excellent recommendation. In light of Leonard, would you like to, you spoke about sharing with us a song,
please,
in respect to him?
I'm going to just share a little bit of the beginning. This is an honoring song for our brother Leonard Pelletier and free all Native American political prisoners. And when I mean political prisoners, I don't just mean human beings, but the animals and the plants and the waters and the stones. This is for all life.
Way oh hey hi ya, 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 way oh hey hi
anyone talks with him, that is, to all of our relations. Thank you, sir.
To get to know, we've become good friends over the past few weeks, and it's been very meaningful to me to spend time with you and learn the details of oppressed nations, that it is just time, like never before, to listen to these words that Ones has been speaking, sharing with us, and listen with your heart. Think of if your own people, your own family, had stripped from it its ability to practice your own religious, spiritual beliefs, your own art, your own political way of life, your own economic way of life. If it were all just taken from you, that is what has been going on now, literally for centuries and centuries, in the name of the United States government, in the name of us, the American people. And it's wholly, wholly unjust. If Ones is correct, and this really is the new millennium, it is truly a time for us to come together as one people, respecting each other. That's the glue that lets us all live with Earth in harmony.
Oh.
Thanks again for being a guest on our show.
Tabakni.
Keep up the excellent work. God bless you and your work.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
You are listening to Yat Kedichi Native Centers, Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone, greetings. You just listened to a very beautiful traditional honoring song from the Black Lodge Singers, a very fine Native American traditional drum. Next, I'm going to share with you a very special tribute for our Native American political prisoner brother, Leonard Peltier. This is from a very new CD just released entitled Free Peltier, Songs for Justice Project. We will first listen to a grandson of Leonard in his letter to President Clinton, and of course, a very beautiful song for Leonard Peltier, written and sung by Dennis Harrison and a number of Native American friends of mine, because they include my friend Gabe Horn, White Deer of Autumn, my very special wife, Betty Hurst, a very fine Tuscarora elder, Ted Williams, Diana Osborne, and yours truly, Oness, on drum. And after that song, Tuscarora elder Ted Williams is going to also share a traditional prayer and thought for Brother Leonard Peltier. Once again, you are listening to Radio for Peace International. This is Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices.
God has made my grandfather to be a girl. Every week, I go and visit him. When we visit, he laughs and jokes around. We always eat from the prison vending machines, but it is hard for him to eat because he cannot chew because the prison did not give him very good health care. I know it hurts him a lot, but he doesn't like to complain or show his pain. When he gets out of prison, I would like to have a horse ranch in the house where he can paint. So please, President Clinton, let my grandpa out of prison.
For his people, you can't jail a man. Sungri Odisa, creator of this divine and harmonious universe. Ease sitting at it down with the twin, it won't care you. Ease going to go on neck, watch it out. Ease sitting at it down with the twin, you twin. We got the swaggy, you used it twin, and what get your cornet, you going to go toss net, won't net, net, I went that. Hey, we ask of you to come together with all of our brothers and sisters in this divine and harmonious universe to put a loving and harmonious touch to everything that we have in this universe and to help the free Leonard Peltier and to give to us your love and your healing, your understanding, your wisdom, your grace, your balance, your purification ceremony in our life, energy, divine consciousness, you got it what not yet. And that means that this prayer goes on forever.
As we listen now in this Wolf Mountain program to Native music, we hear the sacred drum, the voices of our singers, and the footsteps of our dancers. It is the drum that is our heartbeat, and we who sing and dance in a traditional way express our gratitude to the creation and to Kinawantakwasin, to all our relations. We honor our singers and dancers who have kept the songs, and we honor our drummers who know the spirit of the drum. To our drummers, singers, and dancers, keep us strong as we hear the songs from Mother Earth and our Indian nations. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Press, Kinawantakwasin.
Oh,
The music of the beautiful Porcupine Singers traditional Native American drum. We thank you for listening to this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices program. This is your host, Ones. We're running out of time, so we're going to just say thank you and ask you to continue to listen to Radio for Peace International. And we conclude this program with our sister, Buffy St. Marie.
Indian legislation's on the desk of a do-right congressman. Now he don't know much about the issue, so he picks up the phone and he asks advice of the senator out in Indian country, a darling of the energy companies who are ripping off what's left of the reservations. I learned a safety rope. I don't know who to thank. Don't stand between the reservation and the corporate bank. They'll send in federal tanks. It isn't nice, but it's reality. Bury my heart in wounded knees. Deep in the earth. Companies who want the land and make our churches by the cousins want to guide our hand and sign our Mother Earth over to pollution, war, and greed. Bury my heart in wounded knee. Bury my heart in wounded knee. Deep in the earth. Bury my heart in wounded knee. Cover me with pretty lies. Covert spies, we get the liars by the fire, and we get the FBI. They lie in court and get nailed, and still Peltier goes off to jail. Bury my heart and wounded knee. The name of the reservation, bury my heart and wounded knee. Transfer and seek it, bury my heart and wounded knee. The FBI cut off her hands and told us she died of exposure. Bury my heart and wounded knee. Deep in the earth. An Indian. Don't ask the why. On Saturday night, oh, bury my heart.